Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. Welcome to Hallis Intrigue Potsy. On this upcoming episode, we will talk about maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. And spoiler alert, he doesn't play for the Bears. Justin Fields might not play for the Bears either. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy, it's Packers week. You spent most of your Wednesday, 18 hours of your Wednesday, something like that, in the great state of Wisconsin, going to talk to Aaron Rodgers. What was your biggest takeaway from just being up and around them? And this is somewhat of a loaded question, but even though both records are bad, do you think that they still feel the impact of it being their rivalry week as well?
No, I didn't get any indication at all, Pat, that it was it was Bears week from outside, you know, except for just Aaron Rodgers, just the fact that he loves playing the Bears so much because he loves beating them. But that I did not get any inkling that Bears-Packers, in fact, I think Adrian Amos was asked about coming back to play the Bears, and he said, "We're just trying to get a win." That's all. There was no emotional response whatsoever for that's for a guy who actually played on both sides of the rivalry. So the impression I got is that the Packers, what was unusual is it was weird to see the Packers answering and it being asked and answering the same questions that I've seen in the Bears locker room for like the last 25 years, for most of the last 25 years. That was unusual.
By virtue of them being 4-8.
Yeah. They were in the same boat. That was probably the biggest impression. Otherwise, Aaron Rodgers was same as always. You know, he's hurt, but you know he's going to play. He's going to, you know, unless he has a setback, he will play against the Bears. The expectation is, Matt LaFleur said, that he expects him to play. Aaron Rodgers expects to play. And they're not playing. There's no shenanigans. When you have a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you don't have to play these games, these charades will he play? Will he not? We'll take it past. Literally, the Bears taking it past game time decision.
We'll get to Justin Fields and his shoulder, and the general health of the Bears quarterbacks here in a second. But Potsy, I don't know whether you've ever stopped to calculate this, but how many times do you think you've seen Aaron Rodgers in person?
Well, I don't know, maybe a couple dozen.
A couple of dozen. Is he the best quarterback you've ever seen?
Well, that's really hard to say.
I'm asking you a subjective
well,
question.
Well, because there's so many different measurements.
Of course there are, yeah.
The best quarterback to play the position, even that's debatable. Especially now when you see guys like Patrick Mahomes coming up and kind of redefining the position, Lamar Jackson, what a quarterback is. All I'll say is he's certainly one of the best ever to do it as far as his ability to just make big throws, will his team to victory, and come through in the clutch and make you play stupid. I mean, for lack of a better way of putting it, he's just fabulous. And it's also kind of tough to ask somebody who's covered the Bears that question, because that definitely tilts it towards yes, because I'm not sure if there's a quarterback who has tortured a rival. And I know it's probably happened. I'm sure it's happened in other rivalries, Browns and Steelers or Bengals, whoever their rival is. I can't remember. But any of the great rivalries in sports, in football, I don't know if anybody's ever tortured the rival on the other side like Aaron Rodgers has, not just in winning, but the way he does it. That's been well documented by me several times, actually, to ad nauseum. I would say certainly up there among the very best. Tom Brady's got all the rings. But
sure.
Interesting question, though. Sorry to sidetrack this, but
no,
on two occasions I have asked, because I think it's so interesting in football how even the very best players are not modular items where you put them in any. It's not like taking a guy from the number three hole in one lineup to the number three hole in the White Sox lineup and he will hit 300 or do whatever. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks are all dependent, or even the very best quarterbacks are dependent for the most part on what's around them. Now, twice I have asked, like on Twitter, I said, what would happen with Tom Brady had he been drafted by the Cleveland Browns in 2000 instead of the Patriots? And I know it's not scientific. It's definitely not scientific. It's Twitter. But both times, over 40%, one of the options, it was like still the greatest of all time, you know, still a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, in the Philip Rivers range, and then, excuse me, out of the league in 3 or 4 years. And both times, excuse me, both times over 40% of the respondents said out of the league in 3 to 4 years, which is unbelievable that you would find one person who would say that about Tom Brady. So sorry to sidetrack that.
I'm not sure that I disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think it is so much about the situation you're in. I think sometimes we fetishize coaching, but that said, when you're on a good team and get good habits, there is something to be said for that. Put it this way. When Tom Brady was drafted, the world thought Tom Brady was out of the league in 3 or 4 years.
Right. Yeah. This isn't
Cleveland Browns messed up someone with pedigree. This is someone without pedigree. Right. Became the biggest surprise success maybe in football history, or this side of what Kurt Warner probably,
and especially a guy like Brady who, he's not the strongest arm. He's accuracy. I think he's ended up being off the charts, but at the time didn't know. But he's not the greatest running quarterback. He's not the most escapable quarterback. I mean, he doesn't have any of those worldly traits that a guy like Aaron Rodgers does. The great arm, the accuracy, the ability to improvise, throw on the run. Mm-hmm. He's like one of the best ever. And so not that Brady's a circumstantial guy to a great degree. But, yeah, I think that's arguable. So getting back to that, it's so hard to tell, to measure. Do you go by, that makes it hard to go by rings, because I guess my original point was if you put Aaron Rodgers in the Patriots with the Patriots or with a team that had more consistently good defenses, whatever, would he have won those rings? He's certainly capable. Sure. This is not like whatever you think of guys like Philip Rivers, Kirk Cousins, guys who you think are really good elite-level quarterbacks but just don't have that it factor that take a team over the top. You know, and that's not Aaron Rodgers' problem. You know what I'm saying? Although I think that last year was probably the first time where he was at fault for a Packers postseason crap-out. When against the 49ers, he did not play well.
His play caller sure as heck was, too.
Other than that, if you look at the games they've lost when they've been eliminated, there's always been something else, including play calling and stuff like that.
And special teams in this case as well.
Right. So generally I'd say, if you told me he was the best quarterback of all time, or even defined it as the best to ever play the position, however you want to do that, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think he's that good. And like I said, from a Chicago perspective, how can you not? How can you not think that?
You've seen a lot more football in person than I have. The way I always couch it is, I think he's the greatest player I've ever seen with my own two eyes in person. And I grew up watching John Elway in person, and Elway was amazing. And you could argue for Brady. Obviously, we've all seen Brady a handful of times, but I just don't know how you could, like you said, attend Bears Packers for the last 20 years and not walk away thinking that there was anybody ever better.
And can't forget, you have to mention Joe Montana. His name has to be in any conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm just throwing it in there just because in any conversation about the best ever, Joe Montana has to be mentioned. He literally is in the conversation. So just making that for the
record. Somebody's driving down
the street. I didn't hear his name, so I just wanted to make
sure. Somebody's driving down the street screaming about Joe Montana. Thank you. This might be the worst Rodgers has ever been, and I don't say that as a pejorative, but he's obviously very hurt. He's got a thumb injury. He's got a ribs injury. He's going to play through it, but he just really hasn't looked like himself, except for a few flashes this season so far.
Yeah, the biggest thing, I think, is the interceptions. Yeah. He's got 7 this year.
Tied for 3rd in the league.
And that's just so unlike Aaron Rodgers. He is just amazing. When you look, and you could do a whole story, a whole book on just interceptions with Aaron Rodgers, because interception avoidance is like easier said than done. When you look at interceptions and how they happen, tip balls at the line, balls tipped, deflected by your own player, there are so many ways that you can throw a great ball and get intercepted. For him to have the interception percentage that he has, which is, I think, the lowest.
Active?
I don't know. It's one of the lowest of all time. Right. I think him and Steve Young maybe might be. But anyway, it's just amazing how good he's been. He's so far ahead of the pack that it's not just happenstance. It's just not luck. Yeah. There's something he does that he avoids. Until recently in his career, he used to avoid pick sixes and long returns. If you look back, I've researched that. For the longest time, he had just one pick six in his career. Now I think he has 3.
Jay Cutler calls that Sunday afternoon, doesn't he?
Right. Yeah, well, we've seen that. Well, but a lot of guys do.
Right,
A lot of guys do. And And so that's been the biggest difference is now, and even last week, he had a ball that was tipped and intercepted, which even that doesn't, you know, that was just bad luck, but even that doesn't happen. And he had another interception, too, where I think like an undrafted safety totally like baited him. It was weird, which is that. Now, that's strange, too, that Aaron Rodgers, who knows what you're doing better than you know what you're doing, got baited into an interception by a guy, Blankenship?
Yeah. Sounds right.
Yeah, by a not Pro Bowl player or whatever, an undrafted player, I think. But anyway, so, yeah, to your question, he has not been the same. One thing, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to be at his best to beat the Bears. We know that.
Absolutely.
I've already counted him out like 8 times probably in his career, including once this year when I was certain of it, and he came back and just torched
Dallas.
Was it the Cowboys? Or did the Cowboys torch them? I can't remember. I can't remember. But anyway, he torched somebody the very week that it looked. I totally counted them out. So he's done that so often. I will never. Excuse me. I will never count him out. But he is not the quarterback he was. Here's the point for this week. A better Bears defense would be ready to beat him on Sunday. I don't know if this defense is in any shape to do that. Because they're just, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Brisker and Gordon. This is Thursday. A lot can happen with guys in concussion protocol. They can be in it 1 minute and out of it and ready to play the next. So it's not like healing a bruised rib or an ankle or whatever. So if they play, that's different. But without them, without Eddie Jackson, without Roquan, without Robert Quinn, who were all there the first time. Aaron Rodgers is definitely a threat.
Rodgers had a passer rating of 146.7 and 3 touchdowns in the 31-28 win against Dallas last month. He was also helped by Aaron Jones posting 138 rushing yards and A.J. Dillon posting 65. This Bears defense made Mike White look like Aaron Rodgers, though.
Yes.
Shouldn't it make Aaron Rodgers look like prime Aaron Rodgers or peak Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you would think so, especially because the Packers can run the ball.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers is, you know, obviously, you know, has a chance, will have a chance, anytime he faces the Bears, has a chance to have a big game. So, yeah, the Bears defense is just, they're just in tough shape. I mean, they're at a point where all this try hard, the hits principle, is just not enough to get them to a passable level. They're giving up a lot of points. I was looking this up too. You know, the points they've been just by the defense. They've given up in the last 4 or 5 games. They've given up like I can't remember what the number was, like 150 points or something. And even if you take out the 4 non-defensive touchdowns, the 2 special teams touchdowns,
right. Mm-hmm.
And the 2 offensive pick sixes, or no, one was fumble returns.
Right.
They're still tied for the most points allowed in the last 5 weeks. That's how bad this defense has been. And you know, again, without Eddie Jackson, I just see Aaron Rodgers. You could see his eyes lighting up. That was kind of one of the angles of the Aaron Rodgers story yesterday. It was the angles that the idea, the lure of facing the Chicago Bears is a healing agent for him. You know, that's going to help get him over the hump and play on Sunday.
Did you use the word recuperative when asking a question? Did I hear that?
Yes.
Restorative?
Recuperative? I don't know.
It's a good word.
I never think about what I can't remember what I asked as I asked it.
That's a good Scrabble word, Potsy. We were talking about interception percentage. Justin Fields has the worst interception percentage in the NFL, even though the raw numbers aren't very high just because the Bears never throw. Fields, as you and I sit here on Thursday afternoon, was expected to be limited in practice later today. I imagine the Bears would then call him limited Friday. Luke Getsy said that was likely the case today. Do you think the Bears are going to take this Willie or won't he charade up until 90 minutes before kickoff the way they did last week?
Or later.
True.
Yeah, well, I guess technically with Fields, he was 90 minutes, but... I think they will. I just feel like, I'll be honest, I have no handle whatsoever on this. In fact, we were just walking back from watching practice, and I watched him and said, they'll play him, because I think they'll play him if he's okay to play. They're not worried about some taking a bad hit and him suffering some major injury. They're just not concerned about that. Right. If he's good enough to functionally play the position, I believe they will play him. On the other hand, it's also possible this is just part of a charade that Eberflus seems to enjoy playing and keeping the other team, guessing.
Although this is worth pointing out, and you posted a story about it yesterday, much the same way that the New York Jets didn't think twice about Trevor Siemian, the Packers aren't sitting there wondering what the Bears' third string or fourth string quarterback's going to do. They're preparing for Justin Fields.
Yeah. It's like sitting on a fastball and adjusting to a really bad curveball that you know you can hit.
Hanging curveball.
Basically is what they're doing. They're preparing for Justin Fields, and if they get Trevor Siemian or Nathan Peterman or Tim Boyle or whatever, they think they can adjust on the fly and handle it. I'm pretty sure that's an accurate description of what their thought process is.
As we sit here right now, Trevor Siemian has missed a second day of practice with an oblique injury. Nathan Peterman would be next in line, followed by Tim Boyle, even though Tim Boyle is technically on the active roster and Peterman's on the practice squad, the Bears can call up Peterman for Sunday. I asked Luke Getsy today what the depth chart order was, and he said, I haven't even gotten to that point. Yeah. Did you find it curious at all that he wasn't willing to say that a guy who showed up here yesterday wouldn't start?
I tell you the truth, no.
I
have no idea what their thinking is in handling the quarterback situation. Someone's going to have to explain that to me, frankly, because I don't quite get it. It's curious to me that Trevor Siemian played through the game with this injury, and I guess apparently must have aggravated, by definition has aggravated it, if he was able to play on Sunday and now can't even practice. I mean, he's not even practicing. Something is kind of weird there, I guess. All I can say is that's even more incentive for the Bears to start Justin Fields if he can. But I was going back to what I originally said, why I was so confused, is I said, I think he's going to play. And then you and Kevin, I think, said, no, he's not. You know, they think, no, you guys said, no, he's not going to play. And we're even more certain that he wouldn't than I was that he would. So, I mean, that's how confusing it is.
Well, and I'll couch it this way. As we sit here right now, I don't see evidence this week that wasn't there last week that he would play.
Maybe he's
gotten better.
Yeah, he does. No, he looks functionally the same today as he did a week ago.
To be fair, in the limited portions of practice that we're able to watch, last week he looked okay too, in my book.
Right. Yeah.
So, presuming that he's limited today or, you know, through the rest of the week, you know, you will have six straight practices of him being limited. Both he and Matt Eberflus said on Wednesday that the fact that there's a bye after this week plays no role in whether or not he'll play. I can't believe that's true.
Well, either way, I'm not sure what the thinking was on that, in that question, because does that mean play him now because he'll have a week off, or does it mean don't play him so he'll have 3 weeks off?
I think that's...
I didn't quite understand. I mean,
I think the thought process is that if he doesn't play this week, all of a sudden he's got three full weekends of... rest, and that might be more in line with your typical recovery process.
But I would argue that if he's practicing this actively, and he looks like functionally able to play, if he's that close physically, then I don't think the rest, which I thought originally 2 weeks ago, I don't think that necessarily would preclude them from not playing, from playing him.
Okay.
I think they still care. And here's the other thing is, let's face it, if it was our decision or Bears fans' decision, they would absolutely play Justin Fields. I think they would play Justin Fields if he's well enough to play without, you know, if he's not injured. Because look what there's nothing to watch. I mean, I don't mean this as mean-spirited as it's going to sound, but we all know there's nothing to watch if Justin Fields isn't playing. We've seen enough of this offense to know that it's so different without him that even if guys make catches or make plays, that doesn't necessarily mean they're making progress in the context of the offense.
Sure.
Now, I know Luke Getsy would definitely disagree with that, but I'm sorry. I think that's the viewpoint of people outside of the Hell's Hall who would say, man, this team really needs to have Justin Fields play. Now, the funny thing is they don't think of it. They're not thinking of it like that. But if they were, then he'd definitely be playing because it was really tough to watch the other day. And not only from just watching in real time, but just from a big picture. There was no, you didn't get, this season has been all about, wow, the quarterback has given Bears fans hope that when you watch him, even when he's not good, there's hope that, hey, he's making progress. Things are happening. It doesn't often happen here. Right. And so you lose that. You lose. We now know that you lose that when he doesn't play.
Justin Fields makes them relevant both in the short term because you never know what you're going to see.
Yeah.
I mean, for one, he's fun. And Bears fans haven't, they're not used to fun. And secondly, he makes them relevant in the long term because every step he takes is something that will help them in the future.
You said it much better than I did.
Real quick, I want to get to our picks, and then I want to bring up a Matt Nagy topic for you, believe it or not.
Oh, always love it.
Patsy, I believe that you have the Packers winning the game. I'm pulling the score up right now. But
31-24, right?
31-24. What's your, is your thought process that even with Fields, they just can't chase the Packers?
Yeah, I think the normal, I would probably say that they could hold down Aaron Rodgers. A normal Bears defense could hold down Aaron Rodgers. I just don't think they're in any shape. The Bears are in worse shape. The Bears defense is in worse shape than Aaron Rodgers is, and Aaron Rodgers is better at overcoming this situation than the Bears defense is. So, I think I was presuming that Fields would play,
There's a world where even if Fields doesn't play, the Packers are so bad against the run. Like there's a world where the Bears can rattle off 3 8.5-minute touchdown drives.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, I've said that for weeks now, is that anything, I mean, these predictions, anything can absolutely happen throughout the NFL. I will say this. Here's a fun fact for you. In the last 5 weeks, which is kind of the, right now, it's what the Bears' last 5 weeks.
The renaissance of Chicago Bears' offensive football.
Well, but also they're 0-5. They have won. But in that span, the Bears, believe it or not, in total defense, which is yards allowed, are the best team in the NFC North.
Huh.
And they are like 28th. Four of the five worst teams in football over the last 5 weeks in yards allowed are all in the NFC North. You know, the Vikings, the Packers, and the Lions, too. So I bring that up because anything can happen. The Bears, if they control the ball and take time off the clock and keep Aaron Rodgers and that offense off the field, they could very well win this game. So that can happen as well. The Packers are hurting. They're in tough shape, too. Their defense is giving up a ton of yards, just faced, I don't know if they'll face Fields this week, but just gave up 100-and-something yards to Jalen Hurts, and who's a better quarterback, but not a better runner.
Yeah.
And so they're vulnerable, too. So I'm just betting with the odds, I guess, that Aaron Rodgers, who's 24-4 against the Bears in games that he has started and finished.
Right.
It take, you know, because his record of 24-5, including the playoffs, when he was through like two passes and got knocked out. It broke his collarbone when Shea McClellan sacked him. So I'm just saying, he's 11-3 at the Soldier Field. He's 24-4 against the Bears. More than likely, he's going to find a way.
I'm trying to make sense of that NFC North stat, and the only thing I can come up with off the top of my head is that this division has got to play some pretty good teams. You mentioned the Bills and the Eagles. The Bears still have them on their schedule.
Right.
A couple other NFC North teams have already played them. A couple during that five-week span.
Right.
Maybe part of it is they're running into really good teams.
They are. There's no doubt about it that is a factor.
Right.
Because even the best teams are vulnerable to. You know, that's just the way the NFL is. So yeah, that is true. But it's that. But you know, the Bears are the best of that lot, believe it or not. So as bad as they've been, now points is a different deal. I didn't actually total them up. I just know that the Bears in that span are the worst in the NFL. Like I said, by such a far margin that even just by defensive points allowed, they're still number one, or number 32.
Looking around the Sun-Times, Rick Morrissey's got the Packers 31-17.
Big surprise there.
Tellender, 17-16.
17-16 who?
Packers.
Okay.
Lawrence Holmes, 24-11, Packers. Jason Leisure, 36-13, Packers. Although he said that would change if Justin Fields were playing. So we'll see.
The 36-16.
I believe it or not, right. Potsy, and I'm willing to admit that some of this is just being contrarian. I got the Bears 24-23.
Well, it could definitely happen. I mean, the Packers are 4 You know, it's not, you're not going out on a limb predicting the Bears beat a 4-8 team.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is,
they're laughing at us in like New England right now.
You hear us talk about Aaron Rodgers and about the Packers and how they've dominated this rivalry, and the point spread's 4. it's not as high of a mountain to climb.
It's 5.5 now.
Oh, has it moved to 5.5?
I think so.
Yeah. It's not quite the mountain to climb that I think history makes us feel like it is. My thought is that a world exists in which the Bears can run against a team that's given up the second most rushing yards per game in football, and that all they need is maybe one takeaway against Rodgers, and maybe they can thread the needle there. We'll see if I get proven wrong, but for now I'm happy to just be different.
Yeah, like I said, the predictions in general in the NFL, as I know all too well, are very difficult, and games can go either way. But this especially, this isn't like predicting the Bears to beat the Packers like a couple of, even last year or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can definitely see that happening. That would be interesting. This is the one time, I mentioned this to you yesterday, is usually Aaron Rodgers, he has just put a ton of hurt on Bears and Bears fans by beating them. He can hurt them by losing to them. In the viewpoint of some people,
the faction of the fan base that is counting
without Fields, Fields, I would say absolutely, because there's the Bears are like right now second in the draft order, and the reason why, and even if you're not, even if you want them to win every game, I don't blame you. That's fine, great. That's not even the argument, but the point is the Bears, every win is more important because the Bears play such a tough schedule that they are at the bottom of any tie. And if there's a swath of like 5 teams or 6 teams, you can go from 2-8 or 3-10 or whatever just because you played a tougher schedule. So they have to lose. That's why every loss means a lot more to them, pushes them, one up. And so if the Packers lose to the Bears, they would be tied with 4 wins each, and the Packers are like the one team in the NFL that has a tougher schedule than the Bears because of the different teams they play. The Packers have a first place schedule, so they're playing, I can't remember what the teams are. They play 3 different teams, So anyway, the Bears lose a tiebreaker in the draft order with just about every team except Green Bay. So I guess my original point was, if Rodgers wants to put a hurt on the Bears, technically, big picture, he would lose to them.
Much like the bye week would hurt a team in contention when you're talking about winning percentage, a bye week will hurt the Bears in their race to the bottom too.
Yeah. Everyone catches up to them.
We'll have a better sense of that obviously 2 weeks from now. All right, real quick Matt Nagy story, Potsy, and then we'll get you out of here. Tell me whether you find this charming, annoying, or offensive, or none of the above. Patrick Mahomes told the story on the Kelce Brothers podcast that came out yesterday. How draft picks take top 30 visits? Yes?
Yes, I do know.
Before
that.
The draft. So it's 2017. Texas Tech quarterback Patrick Mahomes goes to Kansas City for his top 30 visit. He is set to have a 5-hour meeting with Andy Reid, in which Andy Reid will, among other things, quiz him at the chalkboard and have him draw up plays and recite plays and break down Chiefs plays for him. As Mahomes tells this story on Wednesday, and he says that he had never told it publicly before, the night before, Matt Nagy, who was then the offensive coordinator, told Mahomes, "I like you. Here are the plays Andy Reid's going to grill you on tomorrow. Why don't you study overnight?" So he slipped him the answers to the test. Does this make Matt Nagy a genius? Because it might have ensured that the Chiefs traded up to draft him.
Boy, Pat, I want to know what Andy Reid thinks of that. That's what I want. Because that sounds like, not insubordination, but like that doesn't sound like. Would you really except that he was right? It's weird. Except for the fact that he was absolutely right. Is that something you want your coaches?
That was my first thought. God forbid that happen to Mitch Trubisky.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. I guess my answer would be I'm very uncomfortable with that. Right. I mean, because it's one of those things where, it worked out that time. But we all know Matt Nagy, his judgment is flawed. I mean, not that he's any worse than anyone else or whatever, but maybe he is. But anyway, he got that one right. That's great on him. But that's just such a weird thing. It just, especially, I think a lot of Bears fans are chagrined because his analysis of quarterbacks, maybe, or just whatever, his intuition about them, his intuition about quarterbacks wasn't the same with the Bears as it was with the Chiefs.
Fair.
That's a little,
fair.
Yeah, that's got to be a little disconcerting. So I'm not sure exactly what to think about that. You know, it's interesting that he did that. But I guess my point would be, you know, that one worked out. Who knows if the next one would be, because we know, like, you know, that, you know, Matt Nagy was struggled to develop quarterbacks with the Bears.
I think Bears fans just see a sentence with the word Matt Nagy and Pat Mahomes in it, and I think their eyes glaze over, and they I imagine if it annoys Bears fans, it's mostly just because they're reminded of a
yeah, but
dark
interesting, theory. Really interesting story that's how the draft works. I thought that was a very interesting story.
Potsy, we will be back on Sunday from the Soldier Field press box after the latest installment of the Bears Packers rivalry. Until then, people can follow you and myself and Jason Leisure on Twitter. And check us out on the Sun-Times website and also in print. He's Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.